Today is Friday, March 12th. What to know about a new deadline from the president when he wants every American adult to be able to sign up for a COVID vaccine if they want one, and when to expect the first relief payments to reach Americans' bank accounts. Also, why police are now involved in the latest allegation against New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Plus, what's getting ride-sharing rivals Uber and Lyft to join forces? Why a JPEG file sold for nearly $70 million? And get ready for the Grammys. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. In the first primetime speech of his presidency, President Biden said the goal is now to allow every American adult to be able to sign up for a COVID-19 vaccine no later than May 1st. And he urged states to help make that happen. The president promised the federal government will do its part as well by sending out a lot more supplies to a lot more places. Plus, he says the White House is working on a Find a Vaccination website as well as a call center meant to make it a little easier to book appointments come May. And he wants to let dentists, veterinarians, and other health professionals help give the shots. In the meantime, Biden is encouraging people to keep taking precautions like wearing face masks and practicing physical distancing. He said if everyone does their part, there's a good chance people could be able to get together to celebrate the 4th of July. Still, health experts say it's not clear yet whether we'll be totally recovered by then. A lot could change in the next few months. Some of that has to do with new strains of COVID-19 and how the virus mutates in the future. By the way, hours before that speech last night, Biden signed the latest relief bill a day earlier than promised. While not everyone is happy about the overall aid package, a portion of it means most Americans will be getting $1,400 in direct payments. And the White House says some people will start seeing that money in their bank accounts by this weekend. Police are now involved in the investigation surrounding the New York governor's behavior towards women. Officers with the Albany Police Department are specifically looking into allegations made by one of Governor Andrew Cuomo's aides, who said the governor groped her at the executive mansion where he lives. At this point, a police spokesman made it clear they have not launched a formal criminal investigation yet, but that these latest allegations may have risen to the level of crime. It was actually the legal counsel for the governor's office who reported this latest allegation to Albany police. She said she's legally required to report it, even though the unidentified aide did not want to file a report herself. Already, three other former employees have accused the governor of harassment, saying he made sexually suggestive remarks to them. But this is the first time the governor has been accused of inappropriate touching. And this is also the first time a current aide has made allegations. In the past, the governor did apologize for some comments made to women on his staff, saying he did not mean to make them uncomfortable. But Cuomo says this latest allegation is not true. He called it gut-wrenching and said he's never groped anyone. Either way, this latest investigation is one of many. You'll remember the state's attorney general is doing a separate review. And yesterday, Democrats in New York also agreed to launch an impeachment investigation. The committee can interview witnesses and review documents. Already, the AP says a majority of state lawmakers, both Democrats and Republicans, are now calling for Cuomo to resign. Others say, let's wait to see what these investigations find before pushing him out of office. Cuomo has said many times he will not be stepping down. To be continued. One of former President Trump's most senior cabinet officials spoke about what it was like inside the Trump administration the day of the Capitol invasion. Trump's acting defense secretary, Chris Miller, did an interview with Vice on Showtime. And in that interview, he blamed the former president for inciting the violent mob that stormed the Capitol. And remember, that is the very charge the House impeached Trump on, even though he was later acquitted in the Senate. Well, these latest comments are among the sharpest criticism Trump has received from his own inner circle. Miller said he wasn't sure if Trump thought his speech before the violence broke out would actually inspire the crowd to go that far. But Miller says it's clear it ultimately did. The former acting defense secretary also talked about the response to the riot since he was in charge of the military that day. And he's been facing some criticism himself for not sending troops in soon enough. To that, he said critics just don't understand how the military works, that the response was normal by military standards. And quote, this is not a video game. He said he had to consider his ethical, moral, and legal red lines before sending in troops. So far, the former president has not responded to Miller's interview. More records broken on Wall Street. Both the S&P 500 and the Dow closed at all-time highs yesterday, and there's likely a lot behind the recent surge. Analysts say investors see a light at the end of the COVID-19 tunnel, with vaccine numbers rising and new case numbers dropping. Plus, the latest relief bill, which brings at least some hope of boosting the economy, probably helped. Also, more states have lifted restrictions this week, allowing more parts of the economy to reopen. And the jobs report that came out yesterday shows even more improvement than expected. Big tech stocks are still doing the best. Microsoft, Apple, Facebook, and Amazon led the latest surge. But other companies are doing well, too, like those in healthcare and retail. All right, we have much more news still ahead, but first, this episode is brought to you by Blueblocks. Blueblocks has great, high-quality options for blue light glasses, but their selection does not stop there. Not only do they offer three different types of lenses, they also have a 100% light-blocking sleep mask and two light bulbs. You can also get your lenses with or without a prescription, or choose readers. No matter what, Blueblocks creates their products with the peer-reviewed research about blue light and health in mind. The team also makes fashion a priority and launches new lines of frames every 6 to 12 months to make sure you have the latest on-trend styles. And finally, Blueblocks is the only blue light glasses company with a charity partnership. I love that they donate a pair of reading glasses to someone in need for each pair of Blueblocks glasses sold, giving the gift of sight to those who cannot afford it. So learn more and get 20% off your order at blueblocks.com/newsworthy. That's blueblocks, blueblocks.com/newsworthy. blueblocks.com/newsworthy to get 20% off your Blueblocks order. Okay, now back to the news. It's the latest example of what's being called NFT mania. The first digital-only work made into a non-fungible token, or NFT, was sold at a major auction house, and it went for nearly $70 million. There's no physical version of this. Instead, it's a JPEG file called Everyday's The First 5,000 Days. It's a collage of 5,000 individual images created by Mike Winkelmann, better known as Beeple. It was turned into an NFT last month, and essentially, when something is minted into an NFT, it uses a secure network of computer systems known as a blockchain to give the digital work authenticity. Well, there were hundreds of people interested in this. In fact, NPR reports this is now the third most expensive work ever sold by a living artist at auction. Rideshare rivals Uber and Lyft have joined forces, at least when it comes to safety. They've created a database of drivers who have been expelled by either company over serious offenses like sexual assault. They worked with a specialist in background checks on this called Hire Right. The idea is to prevent dangerous drivers from bouncing from one company to the next. And eventually, other businesses like food delivery services will have access to it as well. To be clear, the companies say no passenger information will be shared in the database. Victims' rights groups say this is a step in the right direction, saying it will help prevent predators from hiding or escaping accountability. It could also appease U.S. lawmakers who have criticized Uber and Lyft in the past for not keeping riders safe. Though Uber's chief legal officer told the AP, only a fraction of drivers have behaved badly. Netflix has a new plan to crack down on password sharing beyond your own household. It's testing out a new pop-up message that's already showing up for some people. It just asks, is this your account? Then it asks people to verify by having a code texted or emailed to the owner. And if they don't enter within a certain time frame, they won't be able to get into Netflix. Netflix thinks this might prevent some people from getting into accounts that aren't actually theirs. Analysts estimate some 42% of people use someone else's passwords, and in 2019, it likely cost streaming providers some $9 billion. One of the biggest nights in music is happening this Sunday. We're talking about the 63rd Grammy Awards, and as always, the show will be celebrating some of the best artists and songs of 2020. This year, Beyoncé has the most nominations of any artist. She's up for 9 awards, including Record of the Year and Song of the Year. Of course, you can expect the Grammys to look a little different this year. There will not be an in-person audience, and the performances will take place across 4 different stages to keep artists physically distanced. But there will be plenty of big performers there. They include Taylor Swift, BTS, Cardi B, John Mayer, Billie Eilish, Harry Styles, Bad Bunny, and a lot more. If you want to check it all out, the Grammys are set to air on CBS and Paramount Plus at 8 p.m. Eastern Sunday night. Before that, though, you can hear from one of the big night's nominees right here on The Newsworthy. We're talking to a 2-time Grammy-winning artist nominated again this year for Best Contemporary Blues Album. Listen to that special edition Saturday episode tomorrow morning. This weekend, most Americans will be losing an hour of sleep. Yes, it's daylight saving time again. Many Americans will be setting their clocks forward, or at least their smartphones will be jumping ahead on their own, by 1 hour early Sunday morning. Even though you may get a little less sleep this weekend, the days will start to feel longer since the sun will be setting later in the evening. Still, critics say daylight saving time is simply outdated, while others argue it's actually harmful since it messes with people's sleep routines, which can lead to health problems or accidents. Love it or hate it, daylight saving is still the norm in much of the U.S. Only a handful of U.S. states and territories have chosen to not recognize it, including Arizona, Hawaii, and Puerto Rico. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Feel Good Friday, when we bring you one extra feel good or positive news story before the weekend. But first, this episode of The Newsworthy is presented by America's leading beverage companies, who are working together to reduce plastic waste in our environment. Not all plastic is the same. America's beverage companies are carefully designing 100% recyclable plastic bottles, including the caps. Their bottles are made to be remade, and they're investing in community recycling programs to help get more bottles back so they can be turned into material used to make new bottles. That completes the circle and reduces plastic waste. Please help get every bottle back. Learn more at everybottleback.org. Again, that's everybottleback.org. Okay, now back to Feel Good Friday. Today, we're talking about how a fake cosmetics website was built to help people escape domestic violence. A teenager from Poland created it. She told the BBC she knew people were cooped up at home during the pandemic, and some were possibly stuck with an abuser. So she created a covert way for people to ask for help. And it's all under the guise of shopping for cosmetics. For example, when someone writes in asking to buy a certain cream, a psychologist responds, pretending to be a salesperson. They may ask how long the skin problems have been going on for or how the affected skin reacts to alcohol. In this case, skin is code for abuser. Victims can even place a fake order and leave an address, which is code to have authorities visit their home. At first, the teen just shared this with her own family, friends, and friends of friends on Facebook. And then the idea took off. A prominent women's rights group even got involved and got psychologists and lawyers to help with the cause. So far, the site has been able to help hundreds of people. Thank you so much for listening today. We'll be back with our special edition Saturday episode tomorrow and another news roundup on Monday. Until then, have a great day.